Welcome to the Center Church Podcast. This is Kate with a special Good Friday devotional podcast. This time away from community has given me a lot of space to think. It can sometimes be difficult to separate my relationship with Christ from my relationship with ministry. A.W. Tozer wrote, "Every age has its own characteristics. Right now, we're in an age of religious complexity. The simplicity which is in Christ is rarely found among us. In its stead are programs, methods, organizations, and a world of nervous activities which occupy time and attention but can never satisfy the longing of the heart. If we would find God amid all the religious externals, we must first determine to find Him and then proceed in the way of simplicity. We must simplify our approach to Him. We must strip down to essentials, and they will be found blessedly few." Have you noticed that you've been stripped down to the essentials? So often we get caught up in what we do and the good work that we do, that we forget it's not who we are. We do make our lives complicated. Our connection to Christ is often through others and our service and volunteerism. Even our reading plan and the hour we spend online listening to a sermon or worship music, our thoughts of Him, our experience of Him, often happens through the lens of outside influence. I do talk to people often who say they identify best with the crucifixion and death of Christ through selfless service to others. That's an incredibly worthy way to spend your life, but there is a difference between what you do and who you are. If you were completely cut off from service and community, in other words, our present reality, and that is how you best identify with Christ, it presents a problem. The religious complexity that Tozer talks about can never take the place of the simple act of following Christ and crucifying oneself alongside Him. They are not one and the same. But as our lives do become busier and fuller and packed with people, we come to believe they are. Going from good work every day to no work is confounding a lot of our expectations. It's part of being human, this constant struggle for identity. But your work was never what allowed you to fellowship with Christ. 1 John chapter 1 reads, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and touched with our hands, concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testified to it, and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." Leonard Sweet tells us a common phrase for Christ in the days before modern English was spoken was "Christ kind Lord," K-I-N-D-E. This didn't mean that He was kind or sweet. It meant kin, Christ, our brother Lord. We've been deprived of the behavioral nudges that bring us into close relationship and affinity with the sacrificial Lord, and therefore we struggle to find fellowship with Him. But in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, it reads, "We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Galatians chapter 2, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." This is simplicity. If you're currently considering that your way of communing with your people and fellowshipping with God required busyness and service and time, maybe now you're understanding how messy that understanding of being crucified with Christ is. Our behavior is an outpouring of our relationship with Him. It is not our relationship with Him. It is not our identity. God will meet you in the mess and offer you Christ. We expected and built complex systems. That's what we do. We build complex systems to find or create meaning and purpose and significance out of everything. What is this human tendency to make everything we do significant? Psalm 90 reads, "So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom." Another translation says, "Teach us how short our life is so that we may become wise." We are not racing to become wise in a short amount of time in spite of life's brevity like frantic existentialists. Rather, it is when we embrace the awareness that we are but vapor, that our span in this life is a blip on an astonishing and vast timeline, and that the self-awareness of mortality is where we find the heart of wisdom. That is when we can grasp our place in God's story. We can let go of ambition and filling our lives with activity, even important kingdom-building work. The work you do to be Christ to the world can distract and detach you from confronting the truth that we are all dying bodies. Have I filled you with existential dread yet? In his postmodern masterpiece, White Noise, Don DeLillo's Winnie character confronts his Jack character with this. Picture yourself, Jack, a confirmed homebody, a sedentary fellow who finds himself walking in a deep wood. You spot something out of the corner of your eye. Before you know anything else, you know that this thing is very large and that it has no place in your ordinary frame of reference, a flaw in the world picture. Either it shouldn't be here or you shouldn't. Now the thing comes into full view. It's a grizzly bear, enormous, shiny brown, swaggering, dripping slime from its bared fangs. Jack, you have never seen a large animal in the wild. The sight of this grizzler is so electrifyingly strange that it gives you a renewed sense of yourself, a fresh awareness of the self in terms of a unique and horrific situation. You see yourself in a new and intense way. You rediscover yourself. You are lit up for your own imminent dismemberment. The beast on hind legs has enabled you to see who you are as if for the first time, outside familiar surroundings, alone, distinct, whole. The name we give to this complicated process is fear. Fear is self-awareness raised to a higher level. Teach us how short life is so that we may become wise. Where does the awareness of mortality take you? To fear, and then to the comforting arms of distraction? Where do you turn to in times of psychological stress? Yourself or Christ? I don't recommend attempting to transcend the human psychological ability to distract ourselves from mortality and to embrace constant self-aware reminders of death, at least not if you want to keep your friends. Even Jesus Christ, anticipating his own death, expressed trepidation at the prospect. It may be easier to distract oneself when death remains unreferenced. Those of us who have experienced the death of a loved one can attest to that crashing in of that one solid truth we can all depend on. We all die. It's harder to ignore when someone who is walking life alongside you is suddenly gone. Their absence serves as a daily reminder that someday you too will be gone. Last summer, my son, captivated by bugs, was watching some bees. I told him, "Watch out, they sting." But with the concept of sting completely unreferenced in his mind, he reached out and grabbed one. Of course, it stung him. Last week, we discovered some bees making a home on our front porch. Now every time Jeremy leaves through the front door, Lev says, "Careful, Daddy. Bees sting you. Bees sting you." When the unreferenced becomes referenced, we live with constant reminders of it. And what do we do with that? Can we diminish the fear? Can we stop wondering, who will remember me? Will I have been significant? What is significance? I'll read Romans chapter 6 again, this time verses 4 and 5. "We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus promises Peter that on him he would build his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This is where we get that phrase, "storm the gates of hell." The use Jesus has here is an expression meaning the realm of the dead. The gates of hell are not an actual place. It's a euphemism for death. In contrast to our complex systems of demanding and generating meaning and purpose and significance, Christ offers us simplicity. The simple, quiet tomb. The simple act of being a dead man. The dark, abandoned quiet of a body on a slab. But it was in this quiet grave that Christ stormed the gates of hell. Evil is already defeated. Death is not the end. Christ, our brother Lord, was the first of many. In his death, he offers a promise to you, a a promise not of death, but of freedom in him. At the time of his death, Christ was not Christ to anyone but those who followed him, and even they had a weak grasp on that. He was Jesus, just another claimant to the title Messiah and dyer of an ignominious death. Dietrich Bonhoeffer's poem, Stages on the Way to Freedom. Come now, highest feast on the way to everlasting freedom, death. Lay waste the burdens of chains and walls which confine our earthly bodies and blinded souls, that we may see at last what here we could not see. Freedom. We sought you long in discipline, action, and suffering. Dying, we recognize you now in the face of God. Bonhoeffer's last known words before being executed by a corrupt government were, "This is the end, for me, the beginning of life." On Good Friday, may we all be blessed with the absence of distraction so that we may grasp the wise awareness of our own earthly limitations. Now may Christ, the first of many to rise from the dead, our brother Lord, who showed us in his life and death and resurrection that this is not the end, may he meet with you, commune with you, walk alongside you, and give you abundant grace, peace, and freedom. As we traverse this strange and referenced life, may Christ be your reference point. Amen.